The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly, we missed out on a pro tip.
That we did.
Last hour, so we want to get to that first, for sure. We could have talked about the implications of the Panthers and the Niners, but instead, I like that little Kawhi Leonard nugget that we had in there. Again, it's one game for the Clippers, but if you believe what the Clippers have to say after the game, they said, this is how we're going to play it with Kawhi. Seemingly set to enter the game later in the first half than you might expect on a nightly basis. And he will, by the way, have some load management. So back-to-back this weekend, he's not even going to play in one of those. Keep that in mind as well. But in terms of the games he does play, look for possible first quarter and first half betting opportunities, knowing that the Clippers are basically stating to us he's not going to get into the game to like mid-second quarter. And then Kawhi even said, you know, I'm going to act like I'm in foul trouble coming into a game, and I'll play it from there. That is your that's your VSiN pro tip of the hour. Again, possible first quarter and first half betting opportunities involving Clippers games where Kawhi is participating. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Skill Alexander, once again, the beauty of doing a numbers game here at the South Point is that people just roll on through the show. And I'm forever grateful for that. And today, rolling on in, Mike and Mike in the morning. From Right Angle Sports, Mike Craig, Mike Reardon. Your name is actually Mike Reardon, who was a former Washington Bullet back in the day.
I occasionally get asked about that because I also live in the same area, so that's a not the first time someone's brought that up.
No relation.
No relation at all. Not that I know of, at least.
Michael Craig, who I've known for many years, Michael Reardon, who I'm just meeting for the first time. Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making the trip down. Appreciate it.
So, first of all, a few things. You've been kind enough, Michael, to come on the show. By the way, Ed Golden's operation at Right Angle Sports, we should give Ed a shout, but all you guys are in town this week. For those who have listened to a numbers game, you know, passionately for the last month or so or 2 months, if not before that, but certainly the last 2 months, you've come on, you've done Right Angle Sports college football releases. We see the global lines moving. I hope you'll come back and do that for college basketball remotely as well. But for those who have not heard of Right Angle Sports, just the 30-second elevator pitch is what?
30-second elevator pitch. I guess Edward started this in the mid-90s. It's grown a lot through the years. I think we're, at this point, the most influential betting service that there is out there. We've got a really strong long-term record, I want to say, in hoops, maybe 58% the last 5 years, something like that. And college football, I don't know. I know I'll go back to the last 2 years. We're about 63 or 64% last 2 years.
Jeez.
50 and 28 this year. 50, 28, and 1.
And I'd be remiss, pardon me, if I didn't mention that you just added Adam Chernoff to Right Angle Sports, who we all know and love. He's always on Follow the Money here on the network. I have him on the Megapod. That is a tremendous addition.
We're excited about that. He's a great ad for multiple reasons.
Multiple reasons. Now, well, here's the thing. Right Angle Sports is primarily known, if we were to sort of tier the sports, college basketball would probably be the one you are most known for. But college football would be number two. Is Adam going to do some pro football for you as well next year? And this year too? Is that how that is?
I don't think it's set in stone, but I would think that's a strong possibility.
Okay.
So we have an NFL service. I think he's going to
be part of that.
Hopefully. Make that go up a notch, and you know, we'd love to get that. I don't think you can get that to the level of the college. It's just a sharper market.
That's
and
right.
More information out there, higher limits. But I think he can definitely contribute to that.
All right, well, let's talk about college football first. And let's start with last week before we get to your thoughts on this week's slate of games. Last week was awesome from a fan's perspective, obviously. Three unbelievable games. Alabama coming down to the wire against Tennessee. Tennessee getting it done late, obviously. The USC-Utah game. The TCU-Oklahoma State game. It was just a tremendous week in college football. How did your picks work out, and how are you doing for the season?
I mean, it's been all right. We tend to not be in on those bigger games.
Right.
We did have a little TCU position, which didn't turn out all that well.
For a moment, I thought we had a miracle chance in overtime, but yeah. No.
I do have a hooker bet to win the Heisman.
You do? And what number do you have?
66. But, I mean, Stroud's just, I don't see how he doesn't win unless he gets injured.
And Lord knows you wouldn't want to root for that, Mike.
No, I would never.
No, you would never. So what were the games that you did have a big position on last week?
Last week? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't. It's just so many games, so they all blend together.
Yeah, we have a lot of volume. I'm trying to think what... I want to give a winner that we had.
I know. Maybe,
hopefully there was enough of them.
Good sales job.
This show snuck up on you guys, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a little early.
All right. What about this week? What can you share that is still out there and available?
I want to go back to the well with Wyoming.
That's your squad.
We did a release. They won outright as a 17-point dog against. They play that week.
That
Air Force.
Was Air Force.
Yeah. Air Force.
Thank God you're here, Mike.
Yeah. Playing Utah State, Wyoming strengths, run defense. It looks like Utah State is probably going to be down to their third string quarterback. Still waiting to confirm that, but I know we took some 3.5, 4, I believe. I think mostly 4. It's 4.5, 5 now.
So. We're showing 5. So you would recommend 4. A bet on that still at 5?
I would probably confirm the quarterback status, which it might be confirmed at this point. We've kind of been out in our own little world out here, so yeah. I don't think we've been on top of things as normal. Yeah. But
in your own little world out here.
Well, it's a little bit of a transition time for us. We kind of do move from college football to college basketball, so it's a little bit of a kind of phasing out. Like, we'll still participate in the markets, but there's a lot of preparation time that goes into college basketball, and that's kind of where we're focused right now.
Yeah, let me circle back to you might have another football thought just besides Wyoming, but let me seize on that for a second, because we did allude to that when you and I were talking a few weeks ago on a numbers game, Michael, which is Michael Craig, that is, which is you do, and this sort of makes people's heads explode, because the normal sports bettor at whatever level, novice or even, you know, sort of beyond, are like, wait, what do you mean you just stop betting college football and you transition? Explain, like, when did you come to that sort of conclusion that was the way to go, beyond the fact that you just need to prepare a lot for college basketball?
I don't know when the year was or whatever. This is kind of our vacation in between the two. So this is like our little getaway, our break before we get into everything in really huge detail.
We tell our wives this works, though.
This is a work trip for
they're
sure.
They're all listening. So. Is it just a matter of, let me just sort of prod it, is it just a matter that the fact, I get it that you have to prepare for college basketball, you guys are 8-1 on that, and you are known for that, and so the preparation, people appreciate that it requires that, but did you notice, and maybe this is true for multiple sports, maybe this just is in college football, did you notice over time, and I recognize that you haven't been there over time, but maybe, Mike, you have, that college football performance sort of dropped as the season went on, where lines became more efficient? Maybe that's just a natural thing.
No, I would just say that obviously a lot of what we do, what we're strongest at, is some of the subjective handicapping. And the longer the season goes on, the sharper the numbers get. It's a lot easier to make a number 8 games into the season, 9 games into the season, when you have a body of work. College basketball, it's 360 teams, and, you know, they're playing it 2 to 3 games a week, and there's a lot of opportunities, especially early in the season, to get on numbers that are not correct.
And a better use of your time, ultimately.
Right. I think for me, like, I've actually liked college football later in the year, because I feel like, from a math perspective, once I have more games, it's just easier. It's not as much time. The subjective stuff for me always took more time, and it was never my strength, so... That's why I think I fit
you
are, in.
Because you're a math guy. Can we describe? We use that word subjective. What does that mean to you?
I would say looking for information that is not already in the number, whether it's looking for a tempo change, a team that's going to play faster or slower compared to what's being projected, injuries. There's various things, but something that a model's not going to tell you, just looking exactly at a number.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Mike's great with numbers. We're pretty good with subjective, and that's why we think it's a great marriage for two of us.
Now, a tempo change, like all the other things you were saying, I get subjective. A tempo change isn't really subjective, though, right? Or are you talking about an in-game, like a...
Well, you know, KenPom is going to have a projection. Let's say that a team is the 150th adjusted pace is his projection for the season. And there are some teams out there, I'm not going to, you know, explicitly say teams at the
Definitely
moment.
Don't.
I know, like, please don't. But, you know, the coach is going to say, hey, we're going to play a lot faster this year. We're going to apply a lot of pressure defensively. And so they're not going to be a 150th tempo team. They're going to, you know, they will be faster. And there's a pretty good chance that you might be able to get some overs to start the year on that type of situation.
What is, and I'm not holding you to this, but what is likely to be, say, the first night of college basketball when it's like a huge slate of games?
Yeah. November 7th, Monday?
Yeah.
Not that you have it on your calendar or anything, but like on November 7th, how many picks might you imagine you might have on a night like that?
Well, as far as the service, you know, I don't know if it might be, you know, 4, 5, 6, but we'll, you know, we betting wise, I mean, we might have 30, 35 plays. You have credit issues. I mean, even if you have unlimited plays, you end up running up against it as far as just being able to get it all in play. It's the first day of college basketball is very high volume.
I won't hold you because I know you don't want to like give away pacing sort of things. Let me just ask you broadly: is there a coach in college basketball that you think people get wrong generally? Does that factor in where your numbers will say one thing, you'll be like, yeah, but it's this dude coaching?
One I can think of off the top of my head who actually has played fast the past few years, but Herb Sendick used to every year say, oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Still always say, we're going to play fast. We're going to push tempo. And then they'd be 330th in the country. And so that's a coach that I wouldn't necessarily trust. In the past, they have started playing faster at where he is now. So.
All right. Well, we'll get back. We'll get some more college football plays again. Wyoming is a play, but again, check the quarterback information there. But Wyoming right now -5 against Utah State. That's a 9:45 p.m. Eastern kickoff on Saturday. Tomorrow, 6:45 Pacific. We'll see if we can drill down and coax some more college football plays out of the Right Angle Sports guys. Mike and Mike, Craig and Reardon right here, kind enough to join us right here on a numbers game. VSiN, Matt Brown on the NFL after that. Adam Burke on MLB and football as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game on a Friday morning. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin on the Sports Betting Network. Michael Craig, Michael Reardon from Right Angle Sports, kind enough to hang out with us for one more segment here on the show. Right Angle Sports again. And I always throw in Dr. Bob as well, but you're right. Right Angle Sports probably moves the markets today more than anyone. But I always call you guys the pillars sort of the industry in terms of betting information and picks. And one of the things that I noticed, Ed Golden, who was the founder of Right Angle Sports, and Bob, who I worked with for many years, he used to have to, and this really sort of represents why they're the pillars, he used to have to, over time, adjust the way that he gave out picks. Because, obviously, let's go back to all the way to 2005, when he was giving out a college football play, and like every publication was you know, showing how the lines would move quickly, and then he had to have this sort of timed mechanism where he would give them out. He would try all these different methods, and Ed was tweeting from the Right Angle Twitter handle the other day that his latest sort of thing is not everyone will get all the picks. Explain why that is now the latest adjustment.
That's correct, and I think that's probably not what everybody wants to hear, but it's really to protect the integrity of the service. If you watch the show, you know the setup and cancel or go model that we do. So
yeah.
It's basically to prevent people from going early, and we'll track who's not getting the picks and who is, and then hopefully we can weed out. The intent of this isn't to say you're only going to get 80% of service. We want everybody to get as high a percentage of the overall plays as we can give them. If you didn't get a play, so we basically charge by play. So if you buy 65 plays and you miss 5 of them, we're not charging you for those. And then you'll get a message that this was the play that you did not get a minute or two later. Yeah. So it's really just a way to protect. It's an idea that we thought was worth trying. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, the goal is for everybody to get as high a percentage as possible. The goal is for everybody to get every play.
Yeah.
But I think if we do this at the beginning, maybe that weeds out some of the stuff that could happen with going early.
That is super interesting to me. Yeah, the cancel and go thing, for those who missed it when Michael would come on here, sometimes the first pick you would give would be a go, and it would be, you know, we put everything in the bet slip, and then it was everybody's trigger to bet it when you said go. But the second time we did it, it was a cancel. By the way, Bruno said that was -600, that the next one was going to be
he gave
a
me 185.
Oh, maybe
I must have bet it up.
Maybe it was -185.
Close 600.
But so you had to do that. But that's interesting because that what you said, just to distill it, narrowing down where the source of the leak, if you will, might be,
right, kind of thing.
Interesting. All right. Do we have another college football play, by the way, besides Wyoming? You guys have been.
Well, Ed's standing out there. We tried to get him on the show.
He won't come on.
He's still a little shy. It took him
I'm here, right?
He's here.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ed has been on the show, just not on camera, just not in studio. Yep. He's been on the show at Golden. So was that a no to my college football question?
No, I was going to say, I said, Ed, what do you think? You got to play. And he said ODU side and under would be pretty strong leans. They're playing Georgia Southern. Yeah.
Old Dominion side and the under.
Yeah.
You didn't do the analysis on that, though.
I mean, Georgia Southern's a really an over team.
I think their schedule's been very heavily with over teams. I think that's part of the run.
Right, and ODU's kind of a not under team, I'd say.
I think it's fair to get to
67, it just seems like a lot to ask for out of those two teams. That's pretty elementary analysis. But there's some other things, but yeah, that's the main crux of it.
Let's do 30 seconds of what if someone wants to get your picks, what do they have to do?
Okay, so handicapper.net, the stuff's up for this year. Another change we have this year is, you know, I've talked about it when I've been on here before, is we're trying to reach more people, and this service is geared towards semi-pro and pro bettors. We recommend that you be betting a dime a game to follow this service. But this year what we've changed to attempt to bring in more people, kind of a newer audience, we're going to split the packages up between a weekday package, which would be Monday to Friday games, and then a weekend package, Saturday, Sunday games. And the thought behind that was basically, you know, it's hard to have a job.
Yeah.
You know, a 9-to-5 job and you're cancel, go.
Yes.
I mean, it could take 45 minutes of your time. So, I mean, for people who gamble and are serious gamblers, that's not as big an issue. But
right.
To reach these smaller people, it's actually going to be cheaper for the weekend only. 25. We're trying to gear towards maybe nickel bettors. I still think you should be betting a nickel. So you can basically buy the pro package weekdays.
Yeah.
Then there's a weekend, more novel. I mean, that's not small on bettors, but geared towards smaller bettors, and then you can buy the whole thing. So the weekdays, it's like 45 a pick. Weekend, it's like 20, 25 to 30, I think, off the top of my head. And then if you combine them all together, if you're buying the whole thing, it's in the upper 30s.
Yeah, I mean, again, for those who listen to numbers game, you know it's Bob and right angle. I wouldn't go past that.
And another one, just an experiment to hopefully get our name out there to a few more people. And, you know, we're really hoping people sign up in November. We've got a really strong November history. Mike mentioned it. I can speak on this as well as anyone. I worked on my own for many years. So to try and get through 363 teams this year, I think it is, on your own is a really tall task. And what we have that I don't think other people have is a large staff that's looking for all the nuggets that Mike talked about earlier, the tempo changes and, you know, coaching changes, there's more transfers than ever. So we've got a lot of people working on that.
Has that been because I talked with our guy Matt Humans here on VSiN. I asked him this a few months ago. Has that development in college, I guess football too, right? Has that been a net positive for your handicapping, do you think? The fact that there's now more to sort of have to wrap your brain around?
I would say yes. I mean, the more chaos there is for someone like us who has a large team who's going to, you know, evaluate the teams, it's a good thing. It makes it harder. It's certainly a tougher job, but that's what we want.
I agree with that 100%. I think with the team we have and people's strengths, I think it helps us. The more change, the better. And with transfers and coaches seem to rotate in and out more than ever as well. So between that and transfers, I think it gives us a leg up on other people for sure.
And it says a lot that you keep coming back to Ed too. It says a lot about Ed that you would go away, but you always seem to come back to him. So it says something to me about that integrity.
I think one thing Ed's done through the years, and I mentioned this when I was on with Ed Feng a few weeks ago. He's reinvested money into keeping the quality of the service high, and he's always looking for ways to improve it. And to speak to that a little further, I think one of the questions that's going to come out with the weekend and weekday is, well, what's the difference in play quality? Are the cheaper plays going to be lower quality? And that's 100% not the case. Any release we put out there, we feel, whether it's $45 just to the higher end clients or to the new people that we're trying to reach, the play quality, it's all going to be the same.
I know you threw out Hendon Hooker just as sort of a lark that you have him as a bet. Is there something else? This is beyond now what we were talking about, but is there something else in college football where you're like, hey, maybe it's the Heisman, maybe it's a futures market of some sort, that you would say this is a good bet right now?
Oof. Not you. That's not you.
No, I don't know.
I think it's hard to bet anyone for the Heisman other than Stroud. I got some Caleb Williams, too, at like 10-1. So I feel like if Stroud gets hurt, I probably have the next two.
You probably
do. At this point, are future you talking?
I'm just saying, let's put it this way. Is there a team that you think, like, let's just project ahead to the college football playoff. We know the usual suspects that are probably likely, or maybe not. Maybe maybe Alabama won't get there this year. But is there another team out there on the horizon that you think might actually be worth a flyer? Because even if they don't win it all, eventually they can sneak into the playoff and go from there, and you can sort of hedge accordingly.
I don't even think there's a team worthwhile like that. I mean,
that's an answer.
I'll give a team, and I this is totally my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak for everybody else in the round team. I think Syracuse might be a little overrated, and I know Dr. Bob likes him. He's talked them up, but I do think Syracuse could potentially be overrated. I could certainly be wrong, but
is there a play on Clemson this week or no?
We bet Clemson. Yeah, we bet some.
I knew I could get around to it.
I feel like I'm wrong every time I talk about Clemson.
There's a little market disagreement there. Fair warning.
Can't get to 14. It won't get there.
Isn't that funny, though? Because I had alluded to this earlier. I played Emil Roussevori in tennis today, and I talked about him related to Irvin Santana when I used to bet baseball a lot. There's always a guy or there's always a team that, for whatever reason, flummoxes you, right? When you're backing them, they're the worst thing in the world. When you go against them, you know, in the case of Irvin Santana, he's Cy Young. That is a sort of a tried and true little nuance to betting that always plagues you. And Clemson is that for you.
This year so far. Can I say one more thing about the service real quick?
Oh, please, Mike, for God's sake.
I just wanted to say, like, November's been our strong suit with all the changes that Mike talked about. We've always done well. 60-29 last November, so over 66%. And we do limit the number of subscribers we have. So just so everybody has more of a chance to get the line. So. The packages are up on the site, and people can go check them out at handicapper.net.
Great to see you, man.
I hope I see you outside of here.
Maybe Cabana today.
Dice.
Man, I heard
Bruno.
You had a great Dice. Bruno, come on. How much more can I need in Tyson? Is Bruno at the Cabana?
He has a meeting with someone today, but yeah, he'll be in and out.
There's plenty of room at the Cabana. You're more than welcome. We got space.
And yeah, lots of a drink tab to fill up.
I can't do that. Michael Craig, Michael Reardon, great to meet you, Michael.
Nice to meet
appreciate
you
it
too.
From Right Angle Sports at RAS Picks on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. Matt Brown's NFL picks, and he's got a bevy of them on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the best betting talent in the game. If you haven't subscribed yet, VSiN has a midseason offer to make you a smarter better. Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get everything VSiN has to offer, including our 24/7 live shows and subscriber-only betting guides to college bowl season and the Super Bowl, all for less than the normal monthly rate. You'll also get VSiN subscriber-only season prep guides to the NHL, NBA, and World Cup. It's the best bet in the game. $99. That's it. For VSiN Pro now through the Super Bowl, sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Kelly, we got tweets. At Beatty the Book. This is from Scott, who says, wasn't Mac Jones the leader in interceptions before he got knocked out? I almost felt better with Zappe starting at quarterback, which is why I may also switch my survivor pick. Yeah, Scott, that's another reason for me too, because, you know, even a few weeks ago before Zappe was a thing, I even said, I was like, Mac Jones been throwing the ball into defenders' chests. He's gotten away with two pick sixes that didn't happen. So I'm kind of with you on that. Surprisingly getting a few of these. So this is from Rich PSM, who says, I'm in final 13 out of 300 in a big pool. And I'm absolutely concerned about the Patriots changing to Jones. He was worse than Zappe and can't overcome deficits. Jeff Staples, CMC, the greatest player that never played. A. Hayes, nice MC Breed mention. You got it, man. Luke, great stuff, and we love Mike Squared. But when do we get to hear from the main man, Ed himself? Ed is very shy. Ed is media averse. Ed Golden, so probably not. Dan Rockwell. Stayed away from Thursday Night Football this week. Was mad at myself for not taking the Saints in the first quarter. So happy I didn't take them by halftime, though. On and on with the tweets. We appreciate the feedback. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, joins us now. He's the co-host of the Final Countdown each and every Monday through Friday weekdays here on the network, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, which, of course, he does with the great Stormy Bonatoni, and, of course, primetime action legend. How you doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. As you can see, I have lights and everything. It's great. We bounced back last week after the disaster that was 2 weeks ago, so it's good. I didn't get evicted. I've got electricity. Everything's wonderful.
You didn't get evicted. Oh, yeah. Wife is happy about that, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah.
All right. And last week, your teasers were centered around the Bengals, as I recall. Was that correct? Or was it somebody else?
No, last week was the Bucks.
Oh, sorry about that.
Last week was the Bucks.
All right. Well, let's talk about
that. We won everything else. I mean, like, so go. It was. Yeah. I mean, we won every side that we played. So it was. Well, still a good week.
As my mother would say, teasers have been dreck this week.
Yes.
This year, rather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We were just talking about Christian McCaffrey and the trade, and we just got tweets about it. Also. How does this affect the Panthers and the Bucks for you? Did you make a play based on this, or did you make this play before the trade?
No, this was before. So every Sunday, I'm sure you guys do the same thing. Like you're watching games, and then you kind of like jot down some notes about like, I'm going to be interested to see what X looks like when it comes out. And it was, what is this Panthers total going to be when it comes out? Because like watching PJ Walker play quarterback last week was absolutely horrible. I mean, guys, all it was, he was throwing the ball sideways the entire game. His average depth of target was like negative 0.1 yards or something like that. I mean, seriously, it was unbelievable.
We read a tweet. We read a tweet where his farthest throw downfield was one yard.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, what is this total against the Bucks going to be? And when I saw a 4 in front, it was like smash it as soon as it hit. And
smash.
I took the under at 41. And that said, I mean, even now, guys, we're sitting at 30. There's still 39.5 available at DraftKings right now. What is the maximum offensive output that we could imagine for this Panthers team? I mean, seriously,
like
what, 6 points, 9 points? I mean, like, you know, 10 tops. I mean, so I don't know how this thing gets to, unless the Bucks somehow figure out how to play offense of their own, which I don't think that's going to magically happen in a course of a week. I do not know how this thing gets to 40 plus points. And so it was, I think it's still even playable at this point.
It's 13 now in favor of the Bucks, and the total's 39.5, which, yeah, which if you do the conflation things, what, like a 26-13, 27-13 kind of game.
I think it's still playable too. Matt and I often talk during the week about what we're kind of looking at NFL. This is not one I think that we really discussed at all, Matt, and I'm on the under as well. I played under 40.5 the other day with this game. I think 39.5 is fair still. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just don't know. What's the maximum amount of points that the Panthers can score? Seriously.
How many
28-10 still gets you home.
How many bets have we grandfathered into this trade last night? You're under this week in the Panthers-Bucks game. We talked about the adjusted season win total under on the Panthers 2 weeks ago. Go under on the Panthers.
Fewest wins
on the Panthers. Ticket. I have my Niners futures, NFC and Super Bowl. Like, everything just coalesced perfectly with this trade.
It's working out well. Yeah. Now, if Deshaun Watson can get traded back to the Falcons somehow in our division tickets we bet in, like, May or whatever.
Great.
Everything comes back around.
Great bets in primetime action history. Falcons, they're going to win it all. And then the Browns were like, we'll guarantee $253 million. He was like, never mind.
I'm out of here.
All right, Panthers, Bucks under, which you still like at 39.5. And then you have a couple sides. Let's start with the Bengals.
Yeah, this one, look, I'm not saying Zach Taylor's a good coach, guys. I'm not. I don't think any of us are saying that. However, we saw some adjustments from him last week, which at least sends me to believing that maybe something is good with this guy. Like, maybe he realizes, oh, what I was trying to do is not working. And so he went out and they ran basically exclusively out of the shotgun. 96% of plays out of the shotgun, which is essentially 100% of snaps out of the shotgun, because there were a couple of quarterback sneaks. That's the only reason it was 96%. They ran the ball 14 times out of the shotgun for 0.32 EPA per play and 5.36 yards per rush. They figured out that maybe we shouldn't be under center ever. And if this offensive line is as bad as we think it is, let's give Joe Burrow at least the chance to stand up and assess what's going on and try and maximize what we have at this position with these skill players and stuff. And so for me, it was absolutely fantastic play here to get this at six. I think anything under a touchdown, still playable. Atlanta is giving up a 69% completion rate on the season as it is anyway. They are dead last in pressure rate. They're 30th in sacks. So all of the stuff that we hate about Cincinnati leading into this week is not, shouldn't play a factor at all. And again, I think Zach Taylor actually made a couple of adjustments, and so good on him.
Stop. I think
the talent. I know. Listen, I'm not saying he's a good coach, but at least he realized what I was trying to do was not working, and I got to give credit where credit is due. And so give me the Cincinnati Bengals. By the way, you know the Bengals are the only team in the NFL, and this is just more fun fact than it is anything else. The only team in the NFL that has not allowed a touchdown in the second half of any game so far this season.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know if that is halftime adjustments. I don't know if that's just a fun fact that will eventually correct itself. But this defense has been legit. And I think more than anything, all this does is just prove that this defense is showing up every single week. And that's kind of what we want whenever we're betting, right?
I appreciate it when we, you know, coaches that we hammer, that we give them credit from time to time. Mm-hmm. I was doing that with Nathaniel Hackett. Even though it didn't work out in the end for the Broncos, the time management towards the end of regulation, they were running the play clock down. They punted right as the clock got to the 2-minute warning, so they could milk 9 more seconds off. So we do have to be honest; it's not just you know, killing coaches every day. Chiefs, you like them?
Yeah. So this just got to a bye point at 2. I guess people are reacting on the Christian McCaffrey. So, I mean, what, he's going to play maybe a handful of snaps. I can't imagine much more than that. So I don't know really what's going on here. Yes, Bosa being back is great. And Trent Williams looking like he's going to be back is great as well. But listen, still no Charvarius Ward, still no Eric Armstead, still no Hufanga. There's still the guys that they're already down that are out for the season for this team already on the defensive side of the ball. So look, they're getting more healthy. They're getting healthier, but they are not healthy by any stretch of the imagination. I think people are kind of overreacting to this Bosa stuff. And don't get me wrong, I think it's great that he'll be back out there for this team. And I, you know, betting long-term on the 49ers, I think, is certainly something you should be doing at this point. But this week, he's still not going to have guys in the secondary. He's still not going to have other guys on the defensive line. And you know, this team's super scary, win healthy, but they're not there yet. And this Bills team, I mean, this Chiefs team, listen, would we say a healthy 49ers defense is, what, at least a tick better than the Bills? Because, I mean, the Bills are awesome, right? So they're a tick better than the Bills. The Chiefs were still able to move the ball on the Bills. They were still able to score on the Bills. And so this is now a 49ers squad that, again, yes, getting healthier, but not quite healthy yet. And so I don't know why we are kind of looking at this team basically from a betting standpoint as if they are, you know, fully healthy. So I just think this is some value on the Chiefs team here at under a field goal.
All right. Teasers always dicey this year. We got 30 seconds here, Matt. Your anchor leg is the Patriots Monday night.
Yeah, and it didn't really matter to me who's playing quarterback, to be honest. Like, it could be Zappy, it could be Brian Hoyer. I don't care. So if it's Mac Jones, you know, it's going to be Mac Jones, fine with me. I think this is one of the better spots of the year, honestly. Like, this Bears team is atrocious. So extra day for Belichick to prepare for a bad Bears offense coming in. I like that a ton. And honestly, I think if we had more health knowledge on Tua, I think the Dolphins would be 8, 9, maybe even 10-point favorites in the Steelers game. So I think there's some value in them as well.
Extra day to prepare for Belichick. Extra super duper days for Matt Eberflus. Don't sleep on Matt Eberflus. All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Good luck, guys.
Matt Brown at Matt Brown M2, co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown weekdays right here, including today, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Adam Burke on the other side, our very own on baseball and football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Pro tip of the hour, Kelly. You want to do a pro tip? I wonder, one day I'm going to ask you that. You're going to be like, you know what, Gil? I don't feel like doing a pro tip.
I don't feel like it. No, nothing.
I don't feel like being, you know, that wise about things. But we will here. And we'll talk about what Right Angle Sports, what Mike and Mike were talking about here, that it may make it tougher to handicap. But the more change there is with teams, player transfers, coaching changes, that kind of thing, maybe NIL in the future will sort of shift in college football specifically. There are more opportunities for bettors early in the season. Information as well on top of all of that makes certainly the early part of college basketball specifically that much more profitable for a lot of serious bettors. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Kind enough to join us in studio, rolling through, it's our own Adam Burke, the author of not only a daily baseball piece at VSiN.com, but so much more. But let's start with baseball. Adam, how you doing, man?
I'm good. One thing I want to mention about that pro tip that they just talked about is, you know, the coaching changes thing I think is really important, because you're going to have a lot of teams in college basketball to play at very different tempos. And it will take time for the sports books to catch up with, you know, a team that's playing a lot faster, a team that's playing a lot slower, particularly if it's in a small conference. So that's something I look at. And in fact, I will have a piece on coaching changes for our upcoming college basketball guide.
Love it. All right. We walked right into that one.
We did.
Walked right into that pitch.
It's almost like you're a pro.
Or I just got lucky there, one or the other. Maybe Kelly's the pro, and I just was the beneficiary of it. So
Adam, look at that shrug back there. He's such a humble guy.
He's like, yeah, it's me.
We did kind of plan it that way, but yeah, it's okay.
All right, so here's the thing. You and I were texting a lot during the sorry about the Guardians. Let's just start there.
It's all right. It was fun.
Do you feel like that game five was like, to use the French, fait accompli, like the hotel stuff, the strike zone, the fact that the Yankees then had all these pitchers available? Like, do you feel empty about that game? Because I do.
I'm not going to be a tinfoil hat guy here, no. But I will say, I thought it was really ironic that last night the Yankees are complaining about a little bit of wind and Judge's ball not getting out.
That's right.
Meanwhile, who knows what happens in Game 5 without the rain out, if they're willing to start after 10 o'clock, which seemed to be kind of the line in the sand for Major League Baseball of, we are not playing after 10 p.m., which is really arbitrary,
totally,
by and large. But, yeah, like they also scored one run, so
there's,
you know,
that.
There's that again. Yeah. But also, 21 of the 27 outs recorded by the Yankees pitchers in that game were from guys that would not have been able to pitch the night before unless they would have used Nestor Cortez in relief, and I don't know if that was the plan.
Was that cathartic for you? I wanted you to.
Not at all.
No.
Don't worry.
Not
he's moved on.
I'm still upset about 2016. That was 6 years ago. So
it's like not
it's
at
hard
all.
For me to get over things.
All right, Adam, I have a harebrained theory. Okay. I'm curious if you'll buy it. So the game today is game three between the Padres, of course, and the Phillies. Series knotted up at one game apiece in the best of seven NLCS back in Philly. It is Joe Musgrove going for the Padres. It is Ranger Suarez starting for the Philadelphia Phillies. And we talked about this on the show yesterday. Not only do I have a Padres series bet, but I grabbed the Padres yesterday at -110. It has largely stayed at that price. We see it drifting a few pennies. We're showing a -115 on the Padres. Now, let me just start with this question before I get to the theory. Does this line make any sense to you?
No, the line's a little fishy. I think the line is definitely a little bit strange, we'll say.
Do you buy into fishiness, or you just think it's a bet? Because here's my theory. So before sports betting got legalized, I would have like Jay Rood on here, and we'd theorize. We'd be like, hey, do you think, you know, when it was getting legalized, we're like, do you think we might have a day in the future where if like the New York Giants were playing the Las Vegas Raiders, that we might have one line in New York and another one in Nevada based on those two teams, based on the, you know, the volume on each side of that. And we theorize about things like, no, that hasn't happened because it's football, and, you know, that was kind of just sort of us spitballing. What about this, though? This is baseball. And you have this massive headquarters of betting on the East Coast, and specifically, right around New Jersey, right around New York, right around Philly. And then there's the Padres. Not only is there not sports betting in California, but it's not like, when you think about sports betting and culture, you're not really like, oh, boy, that Southern California sports betting is nearly as powerful as that Eastern block that I'm just talking about. Could that have something to do with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly could. I think also, I mean, for the Phillies, it seems like they've been, oddly enough, kind of praised more for their playoff performance.
I agree.
Than the Padres have. Meanwhile, the Padres have beaten two really, really good baseball teams. I mean, everyone's a good baseball team in the playoffs, but I mean, the degree of difficulty for beating the Mets and the Dodgers is certainly bigger than beating the Cardinals and the Braves. I think the Braves were a good team, but a flawed team. But yeah, this line is interesting, and I do tend to agree with the fact that the Padres have grown into a little bit bigger of a favorite here. And I did take them yesterday at -110 for game three. I know you took the series price. I'm sitting on the series price from before the series.
And game three. I have the series price from before the series and game three at -110 just like you, yeah.
Here's the thing, right? So to me, and I talked about this yesterday on VSiN Final Countdown, this is basically when the series begins for me because now Wheeler and Nola are in the rear view. Now you've got a Phillies team that has to tap into their depth, and they're not as deep as San Diego is. From a bullpen standpoint, from a rotation standpoint, maybe not even from a lineup standpoint. I guess time will tell on that one. But this is a massive mismatch to me between Musgrove and Suarez.
I agree.
Musgrove, honestly, I think Musgrove's probably better than Yu Darvish at this point. He may be the number one starter for the Padres, whereas Suarez is the clear number three for the Phillies and a pretty average one at that.
That's why I get to my theory on it, because I'm like, something's got to explain this, because it ain't logic, you know?
Right.
Anything on tomorrow's game, Yankees-Astros game three? Yankees have to get off the schneid with Garrett Cole.
Yeah, the Yankees, I mean, it goes without saying, it's kind of an obvious point to make. It's absolutely a must-win game for them. Yeah. And they've been in both games. It's just, and they look overmatched by Astros pitching.
They do.
And this is something that I expected. I took the Astros series price. I took the Astros in four and in five, which I still think one of those two winds up coming through. But, I mean, look, the Astros, any pitcher that threw at least seven innings for them had an ERA of 3.94 or lower. The league average was 3.94 across both leagues. The league average in the American League was 3.88. So basically every Astros pitcher is average to above average. And this is a Yankee lineup that if they don't hit home runs, they don't really score. Last night they were gifted two runs. In the first game, they hit the two solo homers but struck out, 17 times?
Yep.
So I think the Astros pitching is just too dominant here for them. I really, truly think that.
You were also prescient when we were texting. You were like, maybe this is a time for a Houston correct outcome bet. Did you end up making Houston a bet or Houston a certain amount of games?
Yeah, I took Houston 4-0 and I took Houston 4-1.
Nice.
This is the game I'm obviously worried about for the 4-0,
yeah.
You know, with Garrett Cole on the mound, certainly. But if they get this one tonight, I mean, for the Yankees, I'm not going to say they got screwed over by the format because it kind of is what it is. But, you know, the way that ALDS played out did put them up against it here in this series, to say the least. So if they go down 3-0, to the Astros, where they know they're getting Verlander in game five, maybe, I'm not going to say they roll over, but they may be halfway to the plane, or halfway to vacation, I guess, for game four.
It's Katie barred the door one way or the other. All right, real quick, a minute left, because we want to get an update here from Kelly. Your favorite NFL bet of the weekend is?
Well, until Joe Woods gets fired, I'm going to keep betting Browns overs.
Yeah.
So, you know, Baltimore has had a lot of success offensively against Cleveland in the four games since Kevin Stefanski took over the team. They've averaged almost 31 points per game. One of those games they were missing Lamar Jackson, too. So I just don't see Joe Woods' defense being able to stop this Baltimore offense. And I think the Browns can still move the football. I mean, they've done that in most of their games, with the exception of last week against the evil genius Bill Belichick. So over in Browns and Ravens is probably my favorite play of the week.
Over Browns and Ravens. Kelly, what did you want to update on CMC here?
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, since the trade about whether or not we will see McCaffrey this weekend in Sunday's game against the Chiefs. That is completely up in the air. This is from NBC Sports, and Kyle Shanahan talking to them. Said, look, as soon as the trade was happening, he started redesigning the game plan for third down plays, red zone plays, and then he was kind of reminded that he still has to pass a physical. So it is very much up in the air whether or not we will see him on Sunday. But those are the scenarios that at least Shanahan is talking about already that he has in mind for McCaffrey. He said if he does not play this week, he will definitely be playing next weekend.
Yeah, and if he's playing this week, probably on a pitch count of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're redesigning your game plan on Friday morning.
Yeah, against the Chiefs.
I think it's good for the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, probably not the way to go there. But that's the deal. And again, it's one of these weird things where it's like a big trade, but for us who have already bet towards those convictions, both on the Panthers to the downside and the Niners to the upside, It's sort of this weird thing where we're like, this is perfect. We've already got these bets kind of thing. So for me, it raises the Niners, you know, just a notch because I already have this high opinion of them. Adam Burke, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, man, for being here.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. We'll talk again here in the coming weeks. Kelly Midland, Kevin in the corner. and Isaiah Von Vrinkel running the show with everybody downstairs. Thank you, Isaiah, for getting here earlier than everybody every week. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.